is the order of morning service beginning on page 5. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, that promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Our worship continues with the responsive introit as printed on your bulletin insert. Precious in the sight of the Lord, I love the Lord, because he has heard me.
My voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me.
Therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol lay hold on me.
I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. For you have delivered my soul from death.
My eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Precious in the sight of the Lord
is the death of his saints.
The Lord be with you. You can just repeat it. And also with me. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading is written in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, beginning at the first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones.
And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet in an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When you open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will put my breath, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Here ends the reading. The epistle is written in the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning at the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Here ends the reading. Please rise for the responsive gradual as printed on your bulletin insert.
O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 11th chapter of St. John, beginning at the first verse. And due to the length of the Gospel, you may be seated. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found out Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Martha remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. Here endeth the gospel. Please rise as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 12.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the sermon hymn, hymn 151. Please rise. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of Christ Jesus, Martha is a very bold woman. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." Her sister Mary says the very same thing just a few verses later from our text. So now I ask you to consider their statements. What do you hear? Do you hear, "Jesus, where were you? You should have been here"? There's a little reproach, a little rebuke, yet also there is faith that now that Jesus is here, all is well. Dearest beloved, this is the way of grief. The intent is that, not just the intent this morning, that this not be a fruit funeral sermon. But the context from St. John this morning is very clear. Martha and Mary are mourning the death of their brother and wishing that everything would have turned out much differently. And we do the very same thing. We may blame ourselves for not being able to do anything at all. We may blame ourselves for not being there. We may even have regrets. Yet sadly, all too often, we sinful human beings place our blame fully on God. We blame God because of his plan. We blame God because of his will. It just doesn't seem right to us. How could he, God, take my beloved one, the one whom I love so dearly? How could he do this so tragically? How could he do this? Jesus was about 2 days' journey from Bethany when he heard of the news that Lazarus was ill. Yet don't be tempted to think that Jesus wasn't in the know and that he didn't care. Jesus fully knew what was happening. And as you heard last week, as we talked about the healing of the blind man, Jesus was about to work a miracle for the glory of his Father in heaven. Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And then he told the 12, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe." There was so much more to our Lord's plan for Lazarus than simply healing him from a distance, which he certainly could have done. Jesus was about to display the glorious divine power in such a way that showed everyone that he is I Am, that he is God, God incarnate. But he was going to act in his time. He was going to act according to his plan. He was going to act according to his will, and not according to Mary or to Martha or to the Jews or to you or to me? And is it the same with you and me? Each of us has suffered greatly in tragic deaths of loved ones. There is not one here who hasn't suffered. There is not one human being who has not suffered the tragic death of a loved one. What was God thinking? We don't have to ask this question because we already know. Jesus has told us this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Very soon you will sing from our closing hymn, "It is not death to die, to leave this weary road. Jesus, thou Prince of life, thy chosen cannot die. Like thee they conquer in the strife to reign with thee on high." Mary and Martha had certainly felt that Jesus had left them all alone. But he was thinking of them, and he was about to work a great miracle for them and in the presence of everyone. In our grief, we also know the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Very often these words are spoken at funerals. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, he will never die." We know his promise to his disciples in the upper room. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I am going to prepare a place for you." We together have even just confessed, "I believe in the resurrection and the life, and the body and the life everlasting." Certainly we grieve. Absolutely, we are human beings. We grieve. But we do not grieve like those who have no hope. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, God spoke directly to Adam and Eve, and he said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Adam and Eve's disobedience brought sin and death into the world. We deserve no promise. We deserve only judgment, a judgment of eternal death. But before God promised judgment, he promised a solution. It's called the first gospel, the proto-evangelium. He promised that he would send a Messiah. He would send a Savior, the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. Even to Adam and Eve, the ones who had done all of this, who had gave it all up for one single tree, God gave them a promise. Even though they and even though we did not and do not deserve his promise or his grace or his mercy or his forgiveness or his love. Yes, you and I endure the wages of sin because we deserve them. But you and I will not die. We will not die forever. That is also true of your dearly departed ones resting across Hume Road or wherever they may be resting. To the repentant thief hanging on the cross next to Jesus, our Lord said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The thief deserved death for the crime that he had committed. He was receiving his just desert. And he also deserved to die because of his sin. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise," because the thief repented. He believed that Jesus is his Lord. And it's the same with our loved ones who are only asleep. As Jesus has said, they are only resting. And at the moment that they died, they heard these words of Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We know this is the truth,
For Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 16 that it is the truth, that at the moment of our death, we are in paradise with him. And so we listen to our Lord's promise today. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We don't deserve this promise, but Jesus gives it to us anyway. And his promise, dear one, is paradise. So this morning we end with Martha's words. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. Jesus has come, and he has defeated death by his death for you. He rose on the third day from death, guaranteeing you and me that we too will live, and that your loved one who is resting across Shume Road will also rise from their brief sleep. Our Lord Jesus, your resurrection and life, is and will keep his promise. He will come for you, and he will take you to where he is. So therefore, until he comes, we will continue to proclaim from this pulpit, from this church, that you are pardoned, and that you have peace, and that you have hope, and that you have the forgiveness, yes, even the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Peace be with you. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated, and please note that our offering plates will remain at the back of the church, and this will now give us a time for silent prayer. Please rise for prayer. We come, O Lord, with the dry bones of our broken hopes and disappointed dreams. Bind us up in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we may learn to pray with confidence, trusting in your mercy, to supply us with all things needful to us and to our salvation. Almighty God, everlasting Father, you saw Israel in their despair and raised them up to hope by placing your Spirit upon them. Join us together with the communion of saints in Christ Jesus, even though we must for a time stand apart. Raise us up from our weariness and grant us your Spirit, that we may be strong in faith, bold in witness, holy in life, and steadfast in hope. O eternal Lord, your Son has given us the new birth of water and of the Word, and planted faith in us, that we might be your children. Bless your church, supply her with able, fearless, and caring pastors to nurture us in your word. Raise up faithful fathers and those who will teach and pray in your name in every Christian household. Keep your church in your mercy, that she may believe without fear and love without limit. O God of power and might, you hold in your hand all the might of man. Give to us good government and faithful leaders who will heed your word and pursue righteousness and justice. Bless and defend us against all destruction, especially from this deadly pandemic, and teach us to be patient and faithful citizens of this land, using ourselves and our resources wisely for the good of all. O merciful Lord, your Son shed tears for Lazarus, whom he loved. Grant your compassion, patience, and endurance to all who suffer illness, who are troubled in mind, or whose time on earth is short. Spare us from death now, but give us courage and comfort far stronger by your power over death. Eternal God, you carry the grief of those who mourn and remember all who die in Christ Jesus. Give comfort to the grieving and peace to the dying, and give that same comfort and peace to us who live in the shadow and fear of death, that we would never live or grieve as people without hope, but trust in you at every hour. Hear our prayers, O Lord, especially on behalf of Esther Schweier, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolfert, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Culla, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Janice Patterson, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, Nikki Strait, and Youngmin Park. O gracious God, you daily and richly grant us all things we need for this body and life. Bless our labors and grant us wisdom to use the fruits of those labors wisely and well for the care of our families, for the poor and their needs, and for the support of your work in this congregation. Preserve us from fear and greed as we live and work alone, and turn us instead in love toward our neighbors, however distant. O Lord God Almighty, through your Son you have kept the promise of the ages and rescued us from sin. You have raised up the dry bones of a people captive to death and made us alive in Jesus the Christ. And you have done this forever. Sustain us in this hope, that we may endure the tests, trials, and troubles of this life, and be ready when our Savior comes again in his glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Father, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. receive a DVD of this service and also a bulletin. And please note there are some mistakes in the bulletin, and we will work to get those corrected. And we will have those corrected for next week. Please note that there is a proper, as you see in the bulletin, there's a proper there by the usher stand. It's a proper for the time of pestilence. And I pray that you are praying and doing devotions at home. And if so, please take a copy of that. It's a wonderful thing to add to your devotions. And for those who are at home watching us right now on DVD, there will be also a copy.